This is Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K, presented by Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. And by Kuster Commercial, commercial real estate for the Carolinas. Now, here is Patty Mercer.
Hello and welcome to Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K. I'm Patty Mercer. We are live today right here at Famous Toastery in Tiga K, where every server is your server, and it just feels, it's bustling. I see Santa hats. I don't know. It just has that feel of the holiday spirit. With me today, Debbie Harrison, and we're talking about finding joy in the holiday, and no matter what your year has held, and we know that all of us have life events. But I doubt to the extent that, Debbie, you have experienced in 2018. Let's begin with just share a little bit about you.
So I'm Debbie Harrison. I'm a Rock Hill native. I've lived here my whole 43 years, I guess I'll admit. And I had one daughter, Carson Weitzel, and she was... I became a single mom when she was six, and we found this perfect mix of mom, confidant, friend, and sidekick, and we were partners in crime, and, you know.
And, of course, you look so much alike, and Carson Weitzel is a name that resonates with all of us in our community, and it's a name that takes us back to a smile that we would see at the peach stand when we would go in, because she worked there part-time. But January of this year, a very tragic event happened while she was at work.
Right. January 23rd is a day that forever changed my life, as well as the community's. But I was on my way home from work, and Carson had actually called me. She was working 1 to 6 that day. And she called me. She had gotten to work about 12:45, and she was eating lunch before she clocked in. And we talked for a few minutes. And she had stayed up the night before making a art project for me for my wedding. And she finished it, and I'm so grateful that she did that. So we talked, just a normal conversation. And I'm sure that our last words to each other were, "I love you, and I'll talk to you later." But I was driving home from work and started getting notifications from different friends that there was something going on at the peach stand, and was Carson at work? And I was like, yeah, she's working 1 to 6. You know, I didn't think much of it. And I got all the way to, I work in East Charlotte, so about an hour commute, and I was about 3 or 4 minutes from my house whenever someone told me they heard that it was Carson that had been shot. And so I did probably a very illegal U-turn and drove, I don't know how fast, back up the interstate. So I live in Rock Hill, so it was about a 12-mile drive, and I remember getting there, and there was a young female officer blocking the entrance, the 160 entrance, and I told her who I was and said I had heard that it was my daughter that was shot. Could I just please park? I just need to talk to someone. And she radioed someone and told them that I was there, and she allowed me to park and told me someone would be out there. And then a man came out and asked me again my name and my daughter's name and said someone would be out there to talk with me. Go ahead and have a seat. And I'm sure a look of panic came across my face, because he said to me, I'm not saying anything's bad. I'm just saying you might want to sit, because it might be a minute. And the whole way driving up there, I was just praying that she wasn't hurt and she wasn't scared. That she wasn't hurting and that she wasn't scared. You know, I also had been told she had been taken in an ambulance. So I just needed to know which hospital.
Right, there were a
hospital.
Lot of unknowns. Like,
right.
What comes next?
From the peach stand, she could have been taken to one of five probably hospitals. And, you know, I just needed to know what hospital she was at, because she was probably going to have surgery, and I needed to get to her. You know, and so that was my state of mind. So then that man and a woman.
So you're hurry up. Get the information
right,
to me.
Right, and I am on the phone with my husband. He wasn't my husband at the time, but... somebody needs to tell me where my kid is. I just need to know what's going on with my daughter. And then that same man came out, but this time he had a blonde woman with him that I later found out is Sabrina Gast, the York County coroner. And she looked me in my eyes, and she had a jacket on, and I saw the word forensics on her jacket. And when I saw that word, it clicked in my head. And my greeting to her was, "Is my daughter dead?"
Oh, wow. And did you even expect those words to come out of your mouth?
Not at all, because like I said, the whole 20 minutes or so leading up to this encounter with Sabrina Gast, I thought Carson was in surgery somewhere.
Right. So to hear yourself say that must have been, where did that, what?
Right. And yet, surely she's going to tell me no.
Surely.
And she said, "Is your daughter Carson Weitzel?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I'm sorry to tell you that she is." And I said in court last week that at that moment, a noise came out of my body that I can only describe as my soul shattering. You know, this is my only child. This is my life. And you've just told me that she's dead.
When am I going to wake up?
Right. And it was a horrible moment in my life.
It shattered many lives on that day. How an action of evil can do such damage. You are truly an inspiration, though, because when we hear the loss, you manage to find the purpose in moving forward in a way to keep Carson's legacy alive. And she had many passions for how she wanted to help other people. And you're continuing that. And we're going to talk more about that. We need to take our short break.
Okay.
But when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Debbie Harrison, the mother of Carson Weitzel, who we tragically lost last January 23rd. So it hasn't even been a year yet. And finding joy, I think, through the sorrow of a final goodbye. Hey, Close Up is presented today by, of course, Piedmont Medical Center, making it possible for us to come to you every Tuesday and Thursday. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. Huster Commercial Real Estate for the Carolinas. Thanks to our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative and U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. Certainly, you can call Chris McMurray and find out what those rates are doing. You might be surprised. It might be the best time to buy. And, of course, Famous Toastery right here in TKK, where everything is local and deliciously made. We'll be back with more conversations on Close Up in just a few.
Located in Fort Mill, the Custer Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Custer Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
Chris here with U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. Looking to buy, build, or refinance? Put your trust in South Carolina's premier mortgage company, U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. We offer the most extensive list of loan products available. We love our veterans, and our rates are pretty darn good, too. Call me, 792-7168.
NMLS number 75597.
Fad diets, magic pills, people holding up pants. If you struggle with obesity, you've seen it all. Everything except results. At Piedmont Medical Center, we know there's no magic solution for weight loss, but there is a medical solution. Weight loss surgery can not only help you maintain a healthy weight, it can also ease conditions that help you from living a healthy, happy life. Find out if surgical weight loss is the solution for you. Go to PiedmontMedicalCenterWeightLoss.com. That's PiedmontMedicalCenterWeightLoss.com. Or click on the banner to register for a seminar.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill TKK. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
We're back, and you're listening to Close Up Fort Mill TKK. My guest today, Debbie Harrison. And we're talking about January 23rd last year, where you were informed that your only daughter, Carson Weitzel, had just been fatally shot by a young man who had already, he had already turned himself in at that point?
He waited for the police at the peach stand.
Okay. So, in addition to this tragic event, it also opens a lot of conversations regarding gun control, mental illness, and why. Why would a person buy a gun, go to a local establishment, and fatally shoot such a beautiful person like Carson, and wait for the police?
Yeah, the night that she died, it was probably about 6 hours after I found out that she was dead that murder was used for the first time, the word murder. And I was like, you know, it took my breath. I was like, I've never known anybody to be murdered, and my child was murdered, you know. But back to what you're saying.
Because murder, you think there's some relationship. And that's another question I think all of us, as you know, following the threads on social media, everybody wanted to understand. They wanted to know if they knew each other. There was a relationship. So how did you manage that frenzy of speculation?
Everybody wanted to make sense out of a senseless situation.
Right.
And, you know, the information that the police told me, I was to keep tight-lipped. So it was hard to watch people say, oh, I'm sure they must have known each other. And even the first night, it was released that it was a domestic situation. And the family didn't find out until on that Wednesday, the day after, who actually was the shooter. But they had no, they had never met before that day. They had never laid eyes on each other before that day. He was in a very bad place. I call him a broken man. He's just in a bad way. But
do you know what was it that snapped in him?
He was kind of in a downward spiral and feeling really poorly about himself and was planning to kill himself that day and went and bought the gun and stopped at the peach stand to use the bathroom and said he saw Carson as he was walking in.
He bought the gun that day?
He did. Probably an hour or so before he killed Carson, he purchased the gun at Cabela's in Fort Mill. And so he was just coming down Carowinds Boulevard, and he saw her, or he stopped at the peach stand, and she was standing behind the counter when he walked in that side door, and she just glanced up at him. She was looking down at her phone and, like, literally glanced up and back down, not long enough to even really register any kind of expression. But in his broken state, he saw her look at him with disgust, and he said that she looked at him with disgust like so many women had before in his life. And when he went to the bathroom, the rage built inside of him, and he decided it was going to be her. So he went out to his car and got the weapon and loaded it and came back in and waited for her to walk past him, and he shot her 5 times.
He had no idea the spirit of your daughter.
Not at all. One of the things he said to her after she was laying in the floor of the peach stand was, maybe now you'll look at people with kind eyes. And that stuck to me more than anything that has been said through all of this, because that is how Carson looked at the world, with kind eyes. You know,
you have to be able to see, and he was blind.
Yeah, he had no idea who he was taking from this earth.
No, but you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you have used her compassion to actually create a movement and awareness, a nonprofit, to continue to give back to those things that mattered so much to Carson. One being to help other children.
Right. So, you know, I've looked through a lot of pictures of Carson since her death, and so many of them are her with a young child. You know, not just internationally, but here at home as well. And a lot of the stories that came to me after her death from customers of the peach stand involve her being friendly to their child, or, you know, there was a woman who has a son named Carson, and, you know, they bonded over their name, and she would always give him a sucker when he came in. And, you know, Carson was a sucker for kids, and
kids know.
Yeah,
you know, they can see straight through, and they know the kindness of a person's heart.
And like you were saying, the night that she died, so Carson had wanted she and I to go back to Swaziland together, because she had spent the summer of 2017 in Africa, a month in Swaziland and a month in South Africa. And Swaziland just stole her heart. The children there, it's a country of orphans due to the AIDS epidemic. And she had wanted us to go possibly this past August. Well, obviously that didn't happen quite like that. But the night that she died, I knew that I was going to go, that it wasn't going to look quite like we had planned, but I was going to make it happen. And then in the next days, a GoFundMe account was set up to do work in Carson's name in Swaziland. And the community just overwhelmed me with support. The goal was initially set at $38,000. And I remember the first time I opened that GoFundMe page and saw that goal, I thought, oh, there's no way. And we we surpassed it. We ended up raising about $46,000 through that GoFundMe effort. And then the candlelight vigil. There was a group of local moms put together a candlelight vigil two nights after her death at the peach stand. And that was really the first sign that I really had of the magnitude of support, because the parking lot was full and I was standing looking out and people were continually piling in. And I stood there, I have no idea, but it felt like hours, greeting people afterwards who had come out to pay their respects. And some people didn't know either of us, but were moms or just
that
customers,
that common
and just, right,
connectivity.
Just wanted to show their support for me. And it just continued. Over between the candlelight vigil, her visitation, and the funeral, we had over 2,000 people come out and show their support. And her funeral was live streamed on the internet by one of the major news outlets in Charlotte. And like I said in my statement at court, you know, I've seen celebrities' funerals live streamed, but not a 19-year-old that was just trying to make a difference in the world, you know. So, and that video has over 46,000 views.
Wow.
Her funeral.
You know, you, it's almost like that decision to continue Carson's Compassion, and that's the name of your
right.
organization, was born on the night that she died.
Yes, because I couldn't let him take both of us. You know, if I laid down and gave in to the sadness, he won. He took both of us, and I had to make sure that love and light overcame the evil that took Carson from this world. And so I formed Carson's Compassion Project to make sure that happens.
Well, it's truly amazing what you have been able to accomplish. And I know that it's hard. You know, I look at you, and when I speak to you, it's like you're so strong. I know that you have tears because you told me that. But what really stood out to me was just recently when you were in court and you witnessed firsthand his mother. And how did that resonate with you?
Well, you know, I've had an awareness for several months that she was having a hard time and that she likely had little support. When you're the mother of a murderer, you probably get cold shoulders and dirty looks and things like that. You don't get people coming out of the woodwork giving you hugs and strangers coming up and asking, can they give you a hug? That's the support that I get, and I'm sure that's not the support that she gets. And so I've had compassion for her and empathy for that. She also, although it's a different way, has lost her child, and he was her provider. So she lost her child and her provider. So that
and
day
how
I
was the shooter. How old?
He was 28 at the time.
Okay.
But he's since had a birthday. But when I walked in the courtroom that day, she was pitiful. She was just hunched over crying. She had her face hidden with a scarf because of embarrassment. And she had zero support there. And the courtroom was packed with people supporting me and Carson's family. And so I knew immediately that I wanted to talk to her and tell her that I didn't blame her and that I knew that she wasn't the one that pulled the trigger. And that I knew that she raised him to be a good guy. And so I walked over. I was asked to wait until after. So during the sentencing, I went over there and gave her a hug and talked to her.
That's amazing. Debbie Harrison, thank you so much. Keep up on your website, and we'll keep talking later on. All righty. Oh, fantastic. Thanks. Okay, well, we've got more. I thought we were done with the show, but I'm so thankful because we have a few more minutes.
Yeah, because we need to talk about tonight.
Yes, we got to talk about tonight. All righty.
Hey, from Famous Toastery in Tiga K, we want to thank you for your loyal patronage, and we're excited to announce that both Indian Land and Rock Hill Famous Toasteries are open and ready to serve you our delicious, always fresh breakfast and lunch, daily specials, and I could go on. You can be sure that each location of Famous Toastery is uniquely designed with the same great culture and experience that we're known for. We'll see you at Famous Toastery, where every server is your server.
On cold winter mornings and hot summer afternoons, we can beat the peak demand for electricity together. This is Mark Howie. Just go online to yorkelectric.net, sign up, and we'll let you know via email, text, or call when the demand is at its highest. All you do is turn off unnecessary lights and think twice before using your dishwasher, washing machine, or clothes dryer, and adjust your thermostat to use a little less heat or air during the Beat the Peak hours. At York Electric Co-op, we believe if we all cut back on energy use a little, we can make a big difference together.
Located in Fort Mill, the Kuster companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuster Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
Chris here with U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. Rates are going up. Are you prepared? Now is a perfect time to find your perfect home. Put your trust in a company that cares, U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. We love our veterans, and our rates are pretty darn good, too. Call me, 792-7168.
NMLS number 75597.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
We're back, and you're listening to Close Up Fort Mill TGK. My guest today, Debbie Harrison. Just before we went to break, we were discussing what it was like to face the shooter, his family, in front of the judge, and he did get sentenced. What was his sentence, Debbie?
The sentence was life in prison without parole. The way the judge stated it was life in prison for the rest of your natural life.
And, of course, this was for the shooting of your daughter, your only daughter, Carson, last January 23rd. Now we're coming up on a year. You made that trip to Africa.
I've been twice.
You've been twice. Carson's Compassion is a nonprofit organization to continue to, help others. And then you also have put together, Joy in Jeans?
Joyful in Jeans.
Joyful in Jeans.
Yes.
And what is this all about?
So it's really a thank you to the community for their support throughout this year, a reflection of the blessings of this year, because we're trying to, there's been so much beauty that has come out of the tragedy. We immediately after we did a community care day on her birthday, and we did work for 6 local nonprofits. We collected stuffed animals to give to first responders in May, and we collected over 3,000 stuffed animals. And then we made 2 trips to Swaziland, a team trip, and then myself. And then, so this is just a reflection on, thanking the community. There's no charge because it is a thank you, and we're having desserts and hot chocolate and coffee and some raffle items, and we'll have some video from our trip and some presentation, and just looking forward to what we can accomplish together next year also.
And that's at the Dairy Barn?
It is, the Dairy Barn. Okay. Yes, at 7 o'clock tonight.
Is there a charge? Or
no charge.
Just show up.
Yep.
Just show up and find, really an opportunity just to share that face-to-face. And I'm so moved by, what it means to have that support and what it means to also, you're very involved in your church, in your faith. Could you have gone through this without your belief?
Not a chance. And this is something that I haven't really shared with a lot of people, but the whole month of January, so music is what speaks to my soul. The whole month of January, I would be just doing random daily things, and I would get prompted with the line of song, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give," like multiple times throughout the day for 3 weeks leading up to January 23rd. And I believe that was God telling me to prepare myself. It wasn't quite the surrender I had hoped it would be.
So this was prior to?
This was the month of January leading up to the day she died, and it hasn't come to me since. I would listen to the video, I'd look it up on YouTube and listen to the song to try to get it out of my head, because I'm like, all right, I get it, I need to do better at surrendering. But looking back, I truly believe that was God trying to prepare me for what I was to face. And I don't know how I would make it through this year or through the rest of my life without having that faith that I will see my daughter again.
Well, your life is touching so many lives, in as we watch and we mourn with you, but we also gain such peace and understanding in the fact that you are continuing to build awareness for Carson's Compassion. I love it when I ask you what Carson's favorite color was.
Tie-dye.
Tie-dye. And I'm like, tie-dye? Now I have a new answer. I could never decide either. I liked all the colors, so I might just use that. I have also wondered about the other coworkers that were there with Carson. How are they doing?
There were several of them that came to court last week, and there were, you know, five of them in the store that day, and their lives were forever changed too. You know, there's some that are still having a hard time and don't want to be around balloons because they pop and make loud noises and things like that. And that's, you know, there's a lot of hurt that other people witnessed that weren't directly the victim.
Yes, and we just need to remember that there were a lot of lives. That was a life-changing day, and you are changing lives every day by continuing Carson's compassion. Thank you so much, Debbie Harrison.
Thank you.
Always just so inspiring to be with you. And thank you to all of our listeners sharing this incredible story, real life of faith, compassion, and loss and love. Of course, Close Up is presented by Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. Kuster Commercial Real Estate for the Carolinas. Thanks to our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative and U.S. Mortgage.